Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter.
Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the digital marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Thursday, June 21st, 2017. Thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. This is episode 197 of The Big Show. We are rapidly closing in on our 200th episode. And as you well know, I wouldn't do this if you didn't listen. So thanks so much for tuning in every single week. I really, really appreciate it. This has been a really interesting week in the digital space. You're probably aware, you've probably been bombarded by the story around Amazon going grocery shopping. Amazon bought Whole Foods in its largest single acquisition last week. It's been a huge story, and there's tons of insights into why they did this. And I want to approach this from a slightly different perspective. I don't think it's about why they did it. I think there's some good reasons why they did it, and I will link to a bunch of the better ones in the show notes. But I think it also speaks largely to how Amazon sees the world and how they see opportunities exist that I think is really useful for you. Because it's less about why they did it. That's not going to affect what you do every day with your business. But what lessons you can learn from them that you can apply to your business, I think is incredibly valuable. So there's a couple things I want to talk about. Now, first, one of the best lessons I do think comes from our old friend Ben Thompson over at Stratechery, who I talk about a fair bit. He's a really bright guy. I think he's got some really, really strong insights into this. And what Ben talks about is that one of the things Amazon looks for is a customer. You know, they make a lot of tools, they make a lot of technology, they make platforms that make retail and make e-commerce more effective. And certainly, you know, with their very, very tiny market share, Amazon only has a 0.2% market share of the grocery business, according to Global Data Retail. And now Whole Foods Market can make use of their platforms in a way that's really beneficial to Amazon. And I think that's absolutely right. Right now, Whole Foods makes about $180,000 in revenue per employee. That's pretty much exactly the same as Walmart. Now, if they can increase that efficiency, if they can increase their use of those platforms, then obviously that just flows right to Amazon's benefit. You know, if they could get a 10% lift, get $20,000 extra per employee, right? That's $1.7 billion in top-line revenue. And that would be huge for Amazon. That'd be great. But for a company that made $136 billion in sales last year, I want to be fair, nobody's going to turn their nose up at $1.7 billion. But it's a percentage point, right? It's not going to increase their business by 10% or 20%. So I think what's really interesting is that what this enables for Amazon and what you can learn from this is how they go looking at these markets. And I think this is what's going on here. I could be wrong, but there's certainly some of this is likely to be true. First, I have been saying for years now, dating back to 2011 or 2010, that it's all e-commerce. That realistically, when your customers carry the internet in their pocket, this distinction between e-commerce and traditional retail, this distinction between online and offline, is a fairly artificial distinction. And one of the reasons that it's an artificial distinction is because, A, they can choose anybody else just by pulling out their phone, and B, because there's so much data generated. You know, in many ways, I think the E in e-commerce could stand for efficient. And to be efficient, you need data. To be efficient, you need scale. I mentioned already Amazon had a 0.2% market share. Whole Foods only has a 1.2% market share. But literally, Amazon has just acquired 6 times the data about grocery purchases and 6 times the market share than they had. So they've just gotten closer to their customers. It's about tying together every step of the customer journey, regardless of whether it's quote-unquote digital or not. And the data that they're going to get from this makes it digital, even if it's an in-store purchase. And that's going to be incredibly tough for people to compete with. I also think it's really interesting where the stores are. Whole Foods are almost perfectly positioned from a geographic perspective. If you look at where the stores are located by state and where the population is by state, there's a pretty good correlation. You know, they have the most stores in California. They have the second largest number of stores in Massachusetts, which admittedly is a huge outlier. But I suspect there's a reason for that. They've got a ton in Texas, a ton in Florida, a ton in Illinois, a ton in Colorado, a ton in New York. You know, if you look at a chart of where the stores are located over U.S. population, it maps pretty closely. I suspect in the places that are outliers, it's because people are located in cities. So Boston, for instance, Denver, for instance, right? You know, but they've got 85 stores in California, 29 in Texas, 26 in Florida, 17 in New York, 26 in Illinois. You know, I suspect it's more the population is heavily clustered in the places where they have more stores than the state population would seem to indicate. So they've gone from being close to customers geographically, where their distribution centers are, to, as somebody said on Twitter the other day, being in the neighborhood, which obviously gives them the ability to distribute more effectively, gives them the ability to have people pick up packages more effectively. You know, Mark Cuban had a great line where he said he believes that that Amazon is incredibly well positioned, that they're going to get product to customers faster than than an Uber could in an area where they're just going to deliver. Right, that's a huge opportunity for them. You know, this was Mark Cuban's tweet. Can they get your groceries to you faster than you can get to the store to shop in an Uber/Lyft world? And he answered his own question by saying, yes. And I think that's going to be true for lots of other things that they could then route through the stores as well. As Cuban also tweeted, after all, what's more valuable than your time? So that's hugely, hugely important. The other thing that I think is fascinating about this, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago when looking at the Mary Meeker report, is that Amazon is making interesting purchases based on the market value of those companies. They didn't just buy this company. They did it at a discount. In the last 5 years, Whole Foods segment has doubled in share price, while Whole Foods Market's share price actually fell by about 6%. So they, from a certain perspective, they purchased this at a 54% discount to the market as a whole. What they're looking for are undervalued assets. So this is, you know, the money ball thing. What can we value that other people aren't valuing appropriately? And what they're getting is a bunch of data. What they're getting is geography. What they're getting is closer to customers. And closing that gap between what is e-commerce and what is offline. And so when I say it's all e-commerce, this is kind of what I mean. I think they're going to look for opportunities, just as a for instance. So I mentioned that Whole Foods makes about $180,000 in revenue per employee. Walmart's about the same. Amazon gets $277,000 when selling merchandise. And if you account for services, almost $400,000 per employee. That's an enormous gap. That's anywhere between a 50% and 120% increase above what Whole Foods markets are doing these days and what Walmart is doing these days. It wouldn't have to close that gap by much to become much more valuable in the space. So they're looking for discounts. They're looking for opportunities to grow. They're looking, as I think Ben Thompson rightly points out, for customers for its tools. But ultimately, they're looking for the data, and they're looking to be efficient, and they're looking to close that gap between what is online and offline. And I think this is a stunning, stunning move, and something that's going to shape the way retail looks over the next bunch of years for a long time to come. And so what I think you should be doing with this is saying, are we getting all the data that we can? What data do we have about our customers that we can put to use to make a better customer experience? What opportunities are we exploring to get more data about our customers and understand them so that we can create a better customer experience? In a world where it's all e-commerce, content is king, customer experience is queen, and data is the crown jewels, as I've talked about before. And I think Amazon absolutely is building on that reality to create that better experience, to create more data and understand that customer better so that they can absolutely beat their competition. And they're doing it by investing wisely and investing at a lower cost, which is, I think, the playbook. So as you go forward, take a look at those same opportunities. Where can you make your money go a little further to find those undervalued investments that allow you to get more data, that allow you to create a better customer experience? And if you can do that, then you're going to be able to buy a whole lot of groceries for yourself too. Well, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for this week. But I want to thank you again so much for tuning in and remind you that you can find the show notes for today's episode, as well as an archive of all past episodes, by going to timpeter.com/podcast. Again, that's timpeter.com/podcast. And while you're there, you can click on the subscribe link in any of the episodes you find there. You have this delivered to you every single week. You can also subscribe in iTunes or the Google Play Music Store or Stitcher Radio, whatever your favorite podcatcher happens to be. Just do a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or Plain Old Thinks Out Loud. We should show up for any of those. And if you wouldn't mind providing a rating while you're there, I would really appreciate that. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TimPeterAssociates, and you can find me on Twitter using the Twitter handle @TCPeter. Finally, you can email me by sending an email to podcast@timpeter.com. Again, that's podcast@timpeter.com. You can ask questions, comments, complaints, concerns, just anything you want to chat about. I'd love to hear from you. With that, I hope you have a fantastic weekend, a wonderful week ahead next week, and I will look forward to talking with you again here on Thinks Out Loud real soon. Until then, take care, everybody.